Welcome to my podcast. My name is Fred Sharfstein, and we'll be talking about issues related to technology education. Today is February 10th, and this podcast is done with the permission of James Cherry. James works at a correctional facility in Saginaw. And James is going to give us some insight on how the technology can be used in the situation of a correction facility. And here's the podcast with James. Hope you enjoy.
Hi, my name is James Cherry. Today is February 7th, 2009. This is my number 5 podcast for issues related to educational technology. And today's topic that I'll be speaking about is a follow-up to Fred's number 4 podcast about individualized student instruction. I listened to this podcast 3 times and I picked out a lot from it. And the reason that I listened to it 3 times is I listened to it the first time and I heard some really good things, and all of a sudden I kind of got some good ideas for the follow-up. So I took into perspective how individualized student instruction is involved with my teaching, and for the most part all of my instruction is individualized with the students that I have. I teach middle school, and there's not one student that I've ever had in 4 years that is above a fifth grade academic level anywhere. They're normally right around second, third grade. So what I have to do is I have to take the standards and the curriculum guidelines for their grade level, and then I have to adjust it depending on what the student's abilities are. One of the things I liked about Fred's presentation was that technology has been used with assessment for years, and when it comes to adjusting curriculum, it's been done as a whole rather than adjusting it for the individual students. Now there have been some individual adjustments, but for the most part with technology it was done across the board. And now it's just becoming more and more well known that we have to adjust things for our students for a one-on-one basis. In my classroom, since a lot of it is remedial, a lot of it is basic facts, foundation things, I run into some trouble with some of my kids when they're not in class. When they are in detention, there are instances when they will get in a fight and they'll be in their room for 2 to 3 days, which is basically it's confinement. And during that confinement time, they don't come to class, so they miss out on 2 or 3 days worth of material. And unfortunately, what happens is when they come back, they're already behind because they have a hard enough time getting back on track just by coming to class every day. But even if I had the tools, if I had an iPod, if I had some type of MP3 player or any kind of resource, I couldn't send it back with them when they're in confinement, because part of the confinement guidelines are they have to stay in their cell and not really communicate with anybody. They get fed, they have a bed, and they have a toilet and a sink, so they have the basic things for survival. In my classroom setting, I've always kind of laughed about how I have a small class, so I do have some advantages, and one of the nice things about it is when I do a PowerPoint, or if I explore a website or do a virtual activity, my 5 or 6 students that are in class are, for the most part, engaged the entire time. I always have other conversations going on, but for the most part, they're all very close to the screen, and things, most of the time it goes well. One of the things that I would look at, and it kind of got me thinking after listening to it for a couple times listening to Fred's presentation a couple times, was students that are out in the morning that are in the other middle school class, maybe they're out for an appointment or, you know, whatever they have going on, and the material that they missed, if they're finished with it, with my material early, they could access the morning material by way of a laptop or a podcast or a blog or anything like that. And that's one of the things that I'll probably bring up here in the near future at school. Next thing I want to talk about is distance learning. The distance learning part of Fred's presentation, the main thing is anybody can take advantage of it. As long as somebody can access it, it can work out good for everybody. Example, you have a mom and dad, maybe they're in high school and they have a child and somebody needs to stay home and raise a child. Night classes, distance learning, alternative education, it's great if the person has the resources, and unfortunately not everybody has the resources. These resources, they have to be teacher created. I think that once the guidelines are established and the teacher has created a lesson, there are some ways that the students can enhance the material, working, you know, peer to peer and working in any type of collaborative activity. Another thing that Fred talked about was classrooms where there might be 15 to 20 students and you might have 5 working on world history, 5 working on algebra, etc. That teacher that's monitoring the classroom, I think there's good and bad. With me, if there's a student in there that has a question about a persuasive writing, I wouldn't know what to tell them. I don't really know a whole lot about that. But if they have a question about algebra or geometry or any type of math or science, I'll be able to help them with that. I think that pretty much goes for any teacher, highly qualified or not. One of the things, economical things that I like to follow up from this presentation is, let's say there's an 8th grade student that is very excelled in math and they're taking 11th grade math. Rather than transport them to the local high school, they could receive their lesson by way of internet, podcast, any type of technological device that could be delivered into the classroom at that student's home school. Easier said than done. You know, teachers are limited on their amount of hours per day too. But I think Fred brought up a great point, and we have the tools. It's just a matter of knowing how to use them and trying to make the best out of every tool. Thank you.
That will do it for today's podcast. And remember, at times things seem tough. No funding, no time, and greater challenges than ever. But as the Patriot Fight song says, fight on, Patriots. Fight on till the end. Fight on, you Patriots. Stay in there and you'll win.